We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're at Torrey Pines this week as Dusty pulls his golf clubs from the courtesy car. And AJ pulls out her surfboard.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of AJ and Dusty.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
He's dropping. Just ride the barrel and get pitted. So pitted like that.
The Fan.
All right, we're getting pitted today, but not with AJ McCord, with Patrick Harris. What up, P. Harris?
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Dang right. And as always, Will the Thrill Darkens.
What?
Into Bilton.
Too many people in the building, if you ask me.
No shirt, no shoes,
no ties.
But workers are back.
Like
sales
it.
Is here.
I don't like it.
Why?
I liked it when it was just on air and engineers.
Yeah.
Quiet, peaceful.
It was quiet and peaceful.
The sales staff, you are all nice, wonderful people.
I love seeing
Thank you. I'm glad you're back, especially if you're vaxxed. I don't know. We just got spoiled, man. Yeah.
You know what? Give me a week. And then I'll be like, yeah, I can go away again.
You know how much room is in the fridge? That's
no, awesome.
Yeah, I clean it out every once in a while because I know anything that's been in there for over 3 weeks needs to be thrown out.
How many things do you do here? You produce, you host, you janitorial service, apparently?
Well, yeah, sometimes. Well, I used to run the board for Oregon Games. Remember,
oh, yeah.
We used to do that?
Yeah, for sure.
And I'd run the board for Oregon Games. I'd be here for like 4, 5, 6 hours. And then I'd always bring like 2 meals and 30 beers, and I needed room in the fridge, so I'd clean it out every
30
once
beers
in a while.
Is an aggressive move, but I like it.
It's about average.
I clean out the coffee filters here because if you don't, the coffee starts tasting disgusting. Because Jason Swigard either has no idea how to do it or does not care and will just continue drinking.
I'm going to go with
like,
he doesn't care.
Coffee.
He doesn't care.
That guy eats food out of a cup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bad.
I can't explain it.
Please do.
What's wrong with eating food out of a cup?
He eats food out of a cup?
Yeah. It's like a
coffee mug.
Like,
what are you talking about?
Spoon
like,
or
is
fork?
Is it soup? Are we talking soup?
I don't know.
Soup?
I don't know what it is. Like, I just always see him with a cup eating out of it.
You can't eat pasta out of a cup.
If you had a fork, it wouldn't be a large portion.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a little
but
pasta.
That's why.
An anti-pasta?
Yeah.
Hello. I'm not going to go with...
What's pro pasta?
If you were going to eat... Well, it's a plate, damn it. A mug of spaghetti.
Yeah.
That's not doing it for anybody. You need more than that. But if it's soup or oatmeal, I can understand eating out of a mug.
I don't know. He's just always eating out of a mug.
All right.
Maybe he's having cake in a mug.
That'd be wild.
You know they have that.
Cake in a mug?
Yeah, you just... it's like a little dessert thing. You just... you buy the package of it. And then you put it in your mug and you add water, and then it makes cake in a mug.
That's wild.
That's a thing.
I'm not going to eat that.
So maybe Swigard every time is drinking cake from a mug.
It's cake.
Which is even weirder that he's eating cake every day.
At like 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah. You think it's weird. I think he's an innovator.
Yeah, well,
like,
dessert first.
More power to you.
Like what's his nuts? A draft analyst who eats pumpkin pie.
Mel Kiper Jr.
Kiper.
Every day, Mel Kiper Jr. has a slice
every
of
day?
Every day has a slice of pumpkin pie, even when
My
it's not in season.
My girlfriend would do that. She loves pumpkin pie. It's like her favorite thing. She would do that.
I love pumpkin pie too. All right, enough pumpkin talk.
Pumpkin.
Coming up this hour, our burritos are under attack. I will have none of it.
Neither will I.
Okay.
We're forming a coalition.
And we're going to talk Dame to Team USA. Damian Lillard, Team USA.
USA, USA.
Okay. But where we got to start, ESPN is admitting they believe that they're kind of responsible for the lack of fervor around college football. The Athletic's Nicole Auerbach, and I think this is really cool about the with the playoff expansion going to 12 teams, seemingly, The Athletic is doing deep dives every day into college football's top heaviness, right? The imbalance of power. And today was about, Nicole Auerbach wrote about how everything centering around playoff coverage on College Game Day and ESPN has made it so fans just don't care as much anymore. And it's a pretty interesting look at the state of college football and the fact that if you're not in the top four, you don't matter. And ESPN has gone a long way in framing that. And they're not alone. Fox does the exact same thing. I mean, they very easily could have done Big Noon Kick in the same breath. But how ESPN and College Game Day, they have framed it that you don't matter if you're not in the playoff picture.
I think this is actually kind of starting to expose a larger problem that is there with ESPN specifically that I do think bleeds into other things. I think ESPN for the last 10, maybe 20 years has really tried to control the narrative. And I think they're now seeing that there's a lot of people, if there are games on ESPN, people are going to watch them.
Yeah.
But the talking heads, those are losing viewers. Yep. They're losing viewers all the time. And I think it's because they've tried to control the narrative. And now they've exiled so many people like me as a Washington State alum. I don't care what they have to say because it doesn't involve me. They might say, oh, you know, Oregon, if they can get through Wazoo this weekend, they'll set themselves up well. That's it. Yeah. So to me, I'm like, I don't want to watch these guys because I don't care.
And that's a big thing here is that they talked with Lee Fitting, who's the senior VP of production. And this is the best part about this whole article is that ESPN is admitting as much. He said, you know, it's time to take a little reset as far as we're concerned. Obviously, the playoff needs to remain a priority, A, for the sport and B, for business. But at the same time, I'm worried that we've gone a little too far away from what makes college football great. And that is there is something in every game for the fans out there. It's not just the top four, five, six or seven teams who are playing for something. And this, you know, the heartstrings are what makes college football popular.
Exactly. So much emotion.
You have a connect. You root for a team because you have a connection to it. Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes that connection is if you're from, you know, the state of Alabama, a line is drawn in the sand and you got to pick. Are you War Eagle or are you Roll Tide?
Right.
Choose.
And
do it right now.
Yep.
Right. And it maybe is you just are, you grow up that way.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how I'm born and raised in the state of Washington. You a Husky or you a Coug.
That's right.
Same thing.
Ducks and Beavs down here.
Right.
And this is where you sit there and you go, college football always has something on the line. But where college football has gone awry is you lose one game. Oregon loses to Auburn in Dallas and the season is over.
In
the Pac-12 is done.
In a very good game.
Right.
End of the game situation.
And those are the problems that college football has is that one loss early, and that's going to doom you. Unless you're part of the SEC, right? Mm-hmm. You can lose early and you can bounce back if you're in the SEC, but nobody else has afforded that. And that is a framing thing, right? Mm-hmm. That is a framing of perception, and that loses a lot of fan bases. And I think one of the interesting parts is, you know, when you ask the question of like, why do you care about college football coverage? It's because you want to hear about your team.
Mm-hmm.
And if all they're talking about is Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma.
Notre Dame.
But I mean, those four teams have taken 20 of the 28 college football playoff spots.
I heard you guys talking about it the other day.
Those four, if that is the case and that's all they're talking about and that takes up all the air in the room, every other college fan base goes, what's the point? Right? And that's where the conversation, that reset that the VP at ESPN is talking about. And it is needed in college football so badly.
Think about this. Think about all of the issues we have with the Pac-12 network. Okay. There's a variety of issues, whether you don't like who's on there, whether you don't like the coverage, or you have DirecTV and you can't get it. Da da da. There's so many problems with the Pac-12 network. But I still seek it out because it's the only medium I can find that's actually going to talk about the college football conference that I follow all the time. And this is why I'm really jacked about where the future of the Pac-12 is going right now, because that network's going to hopefully give it to me, because right now ESPN and Fox and hell CBS, does that matter too, whatever that is outside of the SEC, they don't give it to me. And what ESPN, this has to be based around ratings. It has to be. That's the only reason why they'd call themselves out, because they're realizing they're losing money. And also they're realizing when 12 teams comes down the line, they can't just sit there and talk about those same four teams.
And
they're going to have to talk about Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald. They're going to have to talk about Cincinnati. They're going to have to talk about who's going to win the South and the Pac-12 to see if they can knock off Oregon. They're going to have to. They're seeing themselves backed in a corner. And I think they're playing a little save myself now.
But here is where the 12 team playoff will help that tremendously. Is that it's not about just those four teams.
Mm-mm.
It's about everybody else getting that seat, and that
exactly.
opens up the conversation a
little
bit more.
That's going to be right? The drama. The drama is not going to be the, okay, we know Bama's getting in. Yeah. We know Ohio State's getting in. We know Clemson's getting in. But I want to see who else is getting
in. But that has also been part of the problem, is that they talked and they beat it over our heads with those four programs and the playoff. We already knew. Like, we knew they were, those are the teams that were getting in. Like,
right. Big Ten plays a condensed schedule. We know Ohio State's going.
Like, yeah, we know.
They changed the rules in the Big Ten to make sure that happens.
So we see this all the time. And then I also think that there is an element of they mentioned in here that last year Clemson had four college game day games. That is missing the boat, because how big of a deal was it when College Game Day went to Pullman?
I lived it. I was there in person. I went to, with some coworkers, I got free tickets and went to the Oregon-UW game in Autzen. That went to overtime, and Dye got the game-winning rushing touchdown in overtime. Chaos. Everyone's going nuts. I'm just like, whatever. You know, good game. I was excited to be there. Hadn't seen a game at Autzen. I'm on the streets that night, and I see my phone buzzes, and it's a video of Reese Davis saying, pack your bags, we're going to Pullman. And I lost my mind.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. Had an amazing experience. It was, will forever be etched in my brain. You know how many times I've watched College Game Day since then? Zero.
Yeah.
I've been watching it to wait for them to get to Pullman. Now that they've been there, I know they don't really care. So I stopped watching it.
And this is where it gets to, when you go to Pullman, you go to, like they mentioned in the article, Coastal Carolina.
North Dakota State.
Right?
They've been making stops up there.
It is a bigger deal.
It's a huge
deal. In those areas and the storylines that you can get out of that, instead of focusing that attention on just the same four programs over and over again, I think it's going to be huge for college football in this regard. When you talk about that imbalance, now we are going to get a broader view, if there's 12 teams in the playoff, of what football's like in other parts of the country. That was the great part about College Game Day when they started taking it on the road, is that you got to see what it was like in different parts of the country. Now, they just stay in the South, and then maybe they'll head up and get risky with it and go to South Carolina.
Oh, only because South Carolina's playing Clemson?
Clemson is in South Carolina, and then you go over and you go, maybe we'll make it to Columbus, Ohio, or Ann Arbor. And then it's a throw a bone to the West Coast every now and then.
Yeah.
That is going to be a changing narrative, and it's interesting to see that ESPN is acknowledging they need a reset on the way that they evaluate the college football season, because there is so much more to it.
And I think if game day or big noon kickoff, because I'll throw that in as well, I think they're semi as guilty. If game day goes to the Auburn-Alabama game, are they getting more ratings? No, they're not. But if they go, if that Auburn-Alabama game has a 4 p.m. kick and they go to Salt Lake City for Utah-UW at a 7:30 kick, that might get more eyeballs on Utah-UW. Mm. It's not going to change if people are watching Bama-Auburn. That money's already there. I feel like it's so narrow, it's so nearsighted, that if you move it, those games are still going to be played. Feinbaum's still going to get your hits, but you're going to open the world up to more opportunities.
Here's a text at 503-250-1080. This says, nobody cares about Pullman, Washington. Even Mike Leach took a look at that S as he left town. Here is where it's changing, is that it's not about the town of Pullman.
Mm-mm.
It's about the product that you put out there on television.
Right.
Right? And that it's about a conversation about what it means to the city of Pullman, to Washington State and their fan base. It's not, they're not looking to go to the best cities, or College Game Day would be in LA every week.
Exactly. Exactly. And what it did,
it's not about the city, because Pullman, I will say this, Pullman is a dump.
It's my dump, though.
It's your dump.
Yeah, but you're right. But what it does is, but what that game did, Wazoo beats Oregon.
Yeah.
And now you know who Gardner Minshew is.
Right.
And that's the beauty of game day. I don't want to sit here and sound like a homer or woe is me as a Wazoo kid. I'm just using it as an example. You don't know who Gardner Minshew is if game day's not there. Seeing the dude with the mustache and the Uncle Rico look, that swept the country.
Well, they explained it before the game even happened. And then as he's getting carried off, you know,
with the mustache,
Mrs. mustache, and then putting it on Mike Leach's face.
Yeah, like that's what game day's about. Yeah. If you can get that at Cincinnati, if you can get that at Arizona State, you can get that at Boston College. That's what people want to see.
And I hope the 12-team playoff brings more of that out. Is more opportunity, more exposure for the fan bases that are desperately needing it, because they've lost a portion of that fan base just by saying, what's the point?
And it's on them now. And now that they're admitting it, I'll give you another shot. Yeah. Let's do it. Prove me wrong.
The Seahawks are getting leveraged, and it isn't by their quarterback. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we got some good texts on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. We were talking last segment about ESPN kind of admitting they've been favoring four programs in the playoff way too much, and they need to get back to their roots of, hey, this is about telling the stories of college football.
Right.
And because that's what makes college football great.
There's so many of them. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Regardless of if you're in the playoff or not, there is an element, though, of if you're not in the playoff, can they reframe college football to make fan bases believe that there's still something to play for? Like, it is what Oregon State and Washington State and Cal year in and year out, Arizona, are playing for. May not be the playoff, but there is something that they feel like that is where college football has lost, is that going to a bowl game just doesn't matter anymore, because they make you feel like if you're not in the playoff, you suck.
Right. And that narrative from those media outlets, like, I love this text, 503-250-1080. The conversation is just going to turn out of those four same teams can beat the new eight teams. They're probably not wrong. What it's done to me, here's what I do. As a fan of a lower tier Power Five school, is I look at, can we make the conference championship?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And if we can make that, and in the Pac-12 situation, winner goes to the Rose Bowl, assuming it's not one of those funky rotating years, that's all I care about.
You've
taken away the college football playoff dream from us, and we'll never have it. And so now it's, you know, if you're Minnesota, can you beat Ohio State? That's what's on your list that year. If I am Washington State, can I get over the hump, beat the Huskies, and go to the Pac-12 title game?
Right.
Because you've made me not care about the ultimate goal, which is winning a national championship.
And I mean, if you can win the Pac-12,
and that's complacency,
there's a great chance you're going to have a seat at that table. But to those same four teams and how they can beat the new eight, I think that is what ESPN is saying, in that they need to do a better job of acknowledging everybody else.
I hope so. I hope that's what they're saying, because that's what they
need
to do.
Not have that happen. This one says, I also think that maybe it's not so much whether or not people care about a small school or small market like Pullman. It may also just be people are tired of hearing the same old stories. I'm not in the car very much, but consistently throughout the day, I just click off whenever I hear Aaron Rodgers or whatever is mentioned, because I just don't care now. It's not news. And if something changes, then it will be news. And that is exactly those four schools.
Spot on. I mean, it's the larger problem in national, especially syndicated radio, television journalism in general is I think the national narrative thinks we all want to hear about what they want to say. And that's, I just don't think true anymore. With all the avenues of Twitter and streaming, we can get whatever information we want. I don't need to hear someone talk about Aaron Rodgers for 3 hours.
Oh, did you know? I learned this over the last three football seasons because they mentioned it literally every single college game day. Do you know Trevor Lawrence is really good at quarterback? Do you know how good he is? Do you know he's a transcendent talent?
I do know how good he
is. I knew
is.
That.
Well, and then what happens, what drives that,
I knew it.
What drives that narrative even more is you start pounding on this thought process that character A is such this highly touted prospect that what happens is now you get people that are like, well, no, he's not. And it's like, oh, well, we got to bring that guy on.
Let's get some takes.
To talk about why Trevor Lawrence isn't this prodigy. And that just, you start chasing your own tail.
Yeah.
So not only am I tired of hearing Trevor Lawrence being the second coming, I'm also now tired of hearing about people that don't think he is.
See, here he goes. Get ready for a bunch of media bias, conference posturing and pandering, the likes we haven't seen since the BCS, to determine those other eight teams. I'm also interested to see how the two non-FCS teams are selected and who will be butthurt the most. You mean the non-Power Five? Or it's actually just the top six conferences.
Yep.
You get in automatically. But if you don't, like, the thing about the get ready for a bunch of media bias, conference posturing and pandering, that is all the Big Ten and the SEC do.
That's all they do.
That's all they do.
Which is why their commissioners make millions of dollars.
And, you know, there is the aspect of, like, when you're talking about a show like College Game Day, that the Big Ten and the SEC are the only conferences represented on that panel.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Davis went to Alabama. David Pollack went to Georgia. Kirk Herbstreit went to Ohio State. Desmond Howard went to Michigan.
Hello, Heisman.
And nobody really listens to Lee Corso anymore.
Well, yeah, because he's the crazy old man. It was the same thing with Lou Holtz.
Yeah. But that is, I mean, the posturing has been there. I think that posturing is a better conversation than just the same four teams over and over again, though.
I'd agree.
Yeah. Because now, right now the posturing has been, All right, you know, Pac-12 and Big 12, you guys better fight your way into that fourth spot because Oklahoma's probably going to get in and get their teeth kicked in because they've been to the playoff and have never won a game.
They're awful in it. And then your other thing, you know, with the Pac-12, and, you know, it's easy to say because, you know, I went to a Pac-12 school. I've lived on the West Coast my whole life, and I'm very, very staunch supporter of the Pac-12. But it's created these narratives of, well, the Pac-12 isn't that strong of a conference.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay, because Vanderbilt, Kentucky is a great game, you know? And then they talk about, well, the conference isn't that great, you know? And it's on too late, so I don't even watch it. It's like, did you just sell yourself out there?
Yeah.
You said it's not very great, but you don't watch it? Like, if it's not convenient to you anymore, then I don't buy it.
At the end of the day, Pac-12 also needs to start winning games.
And yeah, that is true. That
win
is
those
true.
Games.
Win those games and win those preseason non-conference and all that kind of stuff and get it going. But it is unfair for the media to be lazy about their coverage. And I'm going to say it and have that East Coast bias. That's lazy to me. Yeah. It's just lazy.
All right. Hey, I think I'm going to be a Jersey guy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, fist bumping like a champ.
Saw, dude.
Oh, here's Will. All right, pleasant little news coming out earlier today. As Team USA.
USA, USA, USA.
They have two guys on the team now.
And that's not bad. We're almost there.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
Yeah. When they go to Tokyo for the Olympics, Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors and Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers will be on Team USA. I love that. That's awesome.
I'm into it. I'm into it because of a couple things. Obviously, I root for USA. It's the country I was born in. It's the country I root for in international competition.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited to have a player as passionate that I know is going to work hard in the Olympics. Dame is not going to take it off. It was why I changed my narrative on Carmelo Anthony, because he actually worked hard in the Olympics. And so which is a big reason why I kind of came around on him. And my biggest thing is Dame is going to have the chance to play with other players. And I know we say this a thousand times, but it's worth saying again. Go talk to these guys. Go play with them. Play hard. Get them to say, whoa, that guy's amazing. Maybe I should go play in Portland. That's why I'm jacked. Other than the fact that I think he's going to be, he will, unless like Steph goes as well, Dame will be the starting point guard for
Well, right USA. Now we only have two. Right now, two guys.
Right now, he's the starting point guard for America.
Well, I'll tell you what. This might get me to wear or buy a Team USA jersey.
See, we were talking about this right before the show, and I only wear World Cup jerseys, okay. But I only wear them that World Cup, and then they go back up on a hanger, because I am not jersey guy. But I love this idea from you. Why not get a Damian Lillard USA jersey?
Yeah, I think it would be great. I'd never wear it.
You got to go dark blue, though. You got to get the dark blue. Don't go white.
I'm telling you, I would, when I say I would never wear it, I would never wear that jersey. But I think it would be a cool piece of memorabilia to have, seeing as, like, the last time, when the, what was it called? The Cup of the Americas? I think it's when the Dream Team played.
Oh, okay.
In the Memorial Coliseum. And I got to, I was like the dead last seat, like in the back of the Memorial Coliseum. But I got to go watch the Dream Team in a tune-up game, like win by a billion points.
That's so rad.
And that was the day that I got my a number 10 jersey. Got the Clyde number 10 jersey.
The Glide.
And like that, for Portland, it's huge to have. And how many times that, you know, he's been overlooked for, you know, Team USA roster spots and training camp and opting against it.
Like, All-Star games. I get it. All NBA teams, all that stuff he's been slided on. This is your chance, bud.
It is. And I think it'd be awesome to have him on Team USA and just to have that jersey and then just eventually, you know, frame it, hand it off to a kid, whatever. But that's a cool thing for the city and for the Portland Trailblazers to finally get that little nod of respect that Dame's getting.
If you buy a Damian Lillard USA jersey.
And they look so good.
I will buy the Scherzy.
You're a Scherzy guy.
I am a Scherzy guy because it's like a t-shirt.
Okay, would you wear the Scherzy?
Wear the Scherzy. I used to wear a Frankie Lindor Scherzy, but he doesn't play for my team anymore. So I stopped wearing it. That and I got a little fatter.
Well, I mean, you could take care of that part.
Yeah, just get a bigger shirt.
Or liposuction. Or exercise.
Or lipo. Or, exercise.
Yeah, sorry. That was a silly thing for me to
don't
say.
Don't you know, I live by
my bad.
The Charles Barkley life of I don't lift weights because they're heavy and I don't work out because I get tired.
That's a good point.
It's a great point.
It's a great point.
So just get a bigger t-shirt.
But that is... two people on Team USA so far, Dame and Draymond Green.
I love that Draymond's on there because, I mean...
Future Blazer Draymond Green.
Let's hope. I love that Draymond Green's on there because, as just from a real quick USA standpoint, it's so easy for us to walk into the Olympics and just outshoot our way, outgun our way. You put Kevin Durant on there and LeBron James and, you know, the most prolific scorers in the league, we'll just outscore everybody. I like that Draymond's on there because whoever's the coach, Draymond could probably start on that team and play some defense. And I would love to beat teams through defense and not just we have better athletes and outscore them.
So besides Draymond Green.
Going back to 2004.
Yeah, baby.
Who realistically could he convince, you think?
What, to be a Portland Trailblazer?
Yeah.
Right now, nobody because those are the only two guys on the team. But I don't know what that pool of players is going to look like. But
you could probably guess.
But see, I think this pool of players might be the ultimate pool of players to convince to come. Because if the USA team is LeBron and Kyrie and KD and Kawhi, those guys already know. You know what I mean? Like they know who Dame is.
And that's
Dame's already had those conversations. But if you get guys like, you know, I'm trying to think like a Tyler Hero, you know, guys that are like lesser known.
You want that guy.
I mean, I don't want Tyler Hero in USA or in Portland. But you know what I mean? Like if you get that second tier, like a Chris Middleton. Guys like that, you can maybe convince those guys.
Yeah.
Norman Powell, you can convince him to stay. The superstars, they've already made up their minds.
And see, that's what I'm thinking.
They don't have the money to do it either.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking is kind of interesting about this next USA team, because I know the roster's not going to come out until June or later June.
It is June.
Because we're in June.
And almost later June.
We're halfway through the June. Tomorrow is later June.
LeBron James will not be on it. He has stated already he does not want to play on more Olympic teams. You probably won't get Durant because of injury.
Kawhi Leonard would be an interesting one.
Kawhi Leonard might do it. James Harden probably won't, because he'll also have injury excuses. He'll say
basketball. You have to like basketball to play for USA, and a lot of those guys, I don't know how much they like basketball.
So that's why I'm kind of like slowing my roll a little bit on the Dame convincing people, because I'm not sure who's going to be realistically available to go. I'm not crazy about Draymond Green becoming a Blazer, because that doesn't really solve a lot.
No,
it's like
but
a big old Band-Aid.
No, but I'd take him.
I'd take him.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you're right. It's not. It's going to be a bigger Band-Aid. It doesn't address the whole problem.
Yeah,
but
it's not like a franchise-changing move. It makes you a little better.
But, I mean, if Dame plays with Draymond and Draymond says, you know what, this Warriors thing I think is officially done, and yeah, I'll come check it out.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt us. Having a guy like Draymond, or, you know, a Drew Holiday, or, you know, fill in the blank of all these different kind of mid-tier, you know, lower-end superstars, is not going to make you worse. It can't make you worse. I mean, Chandler Parsons will make you worse, but that bullet was dodged.
How do you know? There have been a lot of them. What was, oh my gosh, Hedo Turkoglu?
Yep.
Bullet dodged. Who is the big center? Roy Hibbert?
Bullet dodged.
But look.
Paul Millsap? That's a miss. We could have used him.
Yeah, I could have used Paul.
Look, this team has jumped in front of a bunch of bullets too, like Raymond Felton, and
we won't even go over
the draft history.
Yeah,
but look, they've jumped in front of quite a few, but they've dodged a lot of them as well.
Yeah,
and that would be the interesting part is, you're getting into more ears of guys, and there's more time with him than just All-Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Especially, you're going to Tokyo. You're traveling. You know, Dame is a consummate pro. He's going to show them the kind of leader and, you know, how to be an NBA superstar and have a good time overseas without it being Barcelona 92.
Yeah. 503-250.
Although I would love to have been part of Barcelona 92. Sounds fun.
You know, they stayed on cruise ships.
Yeah, right?
Or yachts.
MJ and Chuck lost like $750,000 gambling.
Well, wouldn't you?
It sounds awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
that's great. A summer in Barcelona. I'm in.
How much money's Michael Jordan worth? $1 billion?
Got to be close to a billion.
He's $1 billion guy now.
The whole shoe thing. It's got to do it.
Yeah, the whole shoe thing. The whole brand.
I watched something recently on, those Vox.
1.6.
Yeah, I was about
billion?
To say.
Yep.
Yeah. They talked about him on the Vox Explain. It's this whole series where they explain things, and he was one of the billionaires. They explain why billionaires are a thing and how they could all form their own country and be like the ninth wealthiest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they do it?
Well, military and, you know.
You buy it.
Making more kids.
For example.
Probably not going to help.
For example, Kobe is around 600 mil.
RIP. Yeah, he's worth a billion more.
Like Michael is the richest former professional athlete in the world.
Oh. That's
in the world, Craig. Right.
See, this is why you go and your loyalty to Nike definitely paid off with you being the best basketball player in the world.
Tinker
Marketing
Hatfield.
Machine.
Shout out to Tinker Hatfield. Yep.
Our burritos are being under attack, and I will not stand for it. Next. Look, our burritos are under attack here, and I'm not going to have any of it.
Nor will I.
What?
Nor will I.
Good.
I'm more of a taco guy than a burrito guy, but I feel like burritos are my cousin.
Okay.
If I'm a taco, burrito's my cousin. It's just my bigger cousin that played lineman.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Shelby Houlihan is a distance runner. And she has been
going the distance?
She's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. She holds the U.S. records in the 1500 and 5000 meters. Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
The distance records.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, she's also got a 4-year ban from the World Anti-Doping Association.
Uh-oh.
Yup. And she will not be going to Tokyo for the Olympics because the Athletics Integrity Unit found that she tested positive for the anabolic steroid nandrolone. And she says that she ate a pork burrito prior to the test from a food cart, and she lives here in Beaverton.
Do we know?
So we're going, our local burritos are under attack for being all roided up.
She didn't say where, what burrito cart, did she?
No.
Because I'm ready to go on an Instagram campaign saying why we should all eat at this burrito joint.
Right. Well, yeah, she didn't throw the specific burrito chain under the bus. But she, and this is where I kind of feel bad for her, is that she, because she trains at Nike.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Nike athlete.
Sure, which is all out there.
There has been a lot of speculation about, you know, Alberto Salazar and his, in the enhancements under the people that he trained.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I actually do not know. I don't believe. She was part of the Bowerman track club, I believe. And I don't think she even trained with him. But, you know, there's just that cloud. And look, this is track and field, period, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime you have a record holder, you're going, I don't believe you, right? But she got popped with this, and they're not even letting her. They denied her appeal for the retest. She said she did a polygraph and all that. But I'm just, don't blame it on our burritos, damn it.
Yeah, that
was. Do you think, like, you can get that much, like, to trigger a positive test from a single burrito a couple hours before you eat?
Yeah, and she's blaming pigs offal, which is which can be a bunch of different things, but it's made up of like intestines, and you can make cheese out of it and things like that. And so I don't know, like, are we saying that the pig was fed some hormones?
Yeah.
And it was not cooked off, and you ate that, and now you test positive?
Boom.
Where does this lie in the list of stupid excuses for cheaters?
This is up there.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
This is like when like a professional baseball player gets drunk one night and falls through a sliding glass door. And then a couple days later, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I had my injury saving a kitten. They're like, you don't even have a kitten.
Yeah.
He's like, it was in
the
wild.
You can't even spell kitten.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is up there with that, especially when, like, there's a lot of things that are out there that are saying, you know, her performance has been getting pretty good. You know?
Pretty good.
But this is where, don't come at me and my burritos.
Without a doubt.
Don't blame it on the burrito.
Do not.
Because a food cart burrito is one of the best forms of Mexican food that you can have. I love food cart Mexican food. Some of my favorite.
I love food cart food, period. But you are correct. I have been working on, again, I'm a taco guy, not a burrito guy. Yeah. But if in theory they're the same thing, right? Lynch and I get in this discussion all the time when we're on the Hot Corner Wednesdays, 7 to 9 p.m.
That's right. On the fan.
He wants burritos because he is 6'4" and massive. I don't want a burrito because I'm 5'6" and should watch my weight. So I like tacos. And all the best tacos I can find in this town are in food carts.
You're damn right.
And they will and always forever will be. And I support food carts more than food carts support me. Unconditional.
As you should. Don't come at the burritos.
No.
Don't blame the burritos.
No. And I want to find out where the hell she ate because I'm going to go there and buy burritos for all of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, why not?
That's a bold claim.
No, just the three of us.
Now,
will you have a burrito?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
What kind of burritos do you
like? Vegan burrito.
Yeah. Throw some veggies, some beans in there.
You don't eat meat?
Cheese.
You don't eat meat?
No meat.
Oh, dude, I can get you a great vegan burrito.
You're a cheese guy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put some cheese in that.
Vegan butt cheese?
Yeah. Not butt cheese. Cheese, man. The good kind of cheese.
Pull it back.
Now, are you a corn tortilla or flour tortilla guy with your tacos?
I prefer corn tortillas mostly because
Now I know you're a taco guy.
I try to cut out as much gluten and dairy from my diet as possible. So corn tortillas, although serving no dietary value for you in corn,
so damn good.
It's better than hurting your body. You just got to poop it out.
Oh, but I need to clean it up. All right. Don't come at my burritos. Coming up next, talking about that sticky icky, the baseball kind.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.